Hi, this is Mike McNamara, and you're listening to All Marine Radio on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
On a Friday, good morning to you. Yeah, Mike McNamara for a Friday edition of All Marine Radio. And I'm watching all this, when the world is upside down, when the world is upside down, what do you do? I don't know, but we're all learning to cope. So we saw people attempt to protest the lockdown, right? And they were, right? Much of the American media just annihilated them, right? You know, not social distancing. Not wearing masks, right? All of that. And then we had the Mr. Floyd incident. And people went into the street, and none of that mattered. In fact, I read an article saying that there's been no public health impact of everybody doing that. Yeah, I read that within the last 48 hours. Well, that's interesting, right? Now, the president, right, who continues to fight off all comers, right, John Bolton, the Supreme Court, right? So Donald Trump fighting in the round now. He's going to have a rally in Oklahoma. And, oh, my God, you would think it's the end of the world. You know, putting people's lives in danger, you know, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, one wonders, like, in what bizarro world can you be that inconsistent with your perspective, your point of view, your opinion, And nobody just like laugh you out of the building for being, I mean, so absurdly hypocritical. So it's just hilarious, in my opinion. It's hilarious that this conversation goes on after what we've seen, you know, in terms of, you know, demonstrations and just the shit show that was. Nobody said a word. Nobody said a word about that. And now we're back to, I guess if you're a conservative and you're going to demonstrate or you're going to have a rally, then that's a bad thing. If you're liberal and you're going to protest, loot, and riot, then that's okay. That's okay. So, amazing. But honestly, it's laughable when you see the angst now that we're going to do this. In light of that, it was okay for everybody to go out in the streets and do what they did. To me, the appropriate, you know, response was for the demonstrations would have been, if you're going to be consistent, I'd rather not see it. However, I see the social necessity in it, right? And I hope everybody wears a mask and everybody social distances. Right now, for those of us who watch that stuff on TV, that was not the case. And so I don't recall seeing anybody saying, hey, this is wrong. This is wrong as wrong could be. We're in the middle of a pandemic. Is everybody stupid now? So anyway, it's moderately humorous to me. Today is Juneteenth. And so I just want to make you, I want to make you smart about it, okay? Because I had to read about it, because I knew loosely, right, that it was associated with the end of slavery. But I didn't know, right? I didn't know about it. So let me read you a little bit about it. Juneteenth is the oldest nationally celebrated commemoration of the ending of slavery in the United States. Dating back to 1865, it was on June 19th that Union soldiers led by Major General Gordon Granger, cavalry guy, landed at Galveston, Texas with news that the war had ended and the enslaved were now free. Note that this is 2.5 years after Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation, which had become official on January 1st, 1863. The Emancipation Proclamation had little impact on the Texans due to the minimum number of Union troops to enforce the new executive order. However, General Granger's regiment and forces were finally strong enough to influence and overcome resistance. So that's what happened. So General Order number 3, right, is this. The people of Texas are informed that in accordance with the proclamation from the executive of the United States, all slaves are free. This involves an absolute equality of rights and rights of property between former masters and slaves, and the connection heretofore existing between them becomes that between employer and hired laborer. So there you have it. That is a little bit of the history of Juneteenth, celebrated on the 19th day of June. In Texas, it's a state holiday. Yeah. Yeah. So happy Juneteenth, everybody out there. I've said before on a relatively regular basis that I feel like leadership is the number one problem in the United States. And I watch the news and, like, is that not confirmed for everybody out there? You have weak people that won't stand up for what's right. And why won't they stand up for it? Because it may come at some personal cost to them? Because it may be unpopular with those who they attempt to curry favor with? Not exactly sure. but it's what weak leadership gets you. And so I saw a story early this morning when I was reading the news about this stepmother of one of the officer Rolf, indicted in Atlanta, was fired from her job. She's won awards as a human relations person, and he gets indicted, and less than 48 hours later, she's fired. And so you see this all over the country. In fact, I will tell you this, a tip of the leadership cap to the mayor of Portland. You know, Portland is a big-time Antifa town where much of their nonsense has emanated from, and the city of Portland has undergone more than a few events where Antifa has gone into the streets and done pretty much whatever they wanted, and, you know, the nation's kind of stood by and watched, as the mayor stood by and watched. They attempted to create an independent autonomous zone, whatever that they call those things, and it was quickly shut down. Now, maybe it was because it was around his home. Maybe if it had been around your home, that would have been something that he would have negotiated away and said, you know, this is just a street celebration. But surprisingly, the mayor of Portland, you know, made that go away. And guess what? It went away. Seattle, not so much. Probably because it wasn't around the mayor's house. Had it been around the mayor's house, then it got personal. But until then, it's just the citizens in six city blocks. They'll get over it. They'll get over it. And so, to me, you see this more and more and more. And it's just, you know, weak people who have who run for office on pious platitudes and are not up to the challenge of making real hard decisions and standing up for what is right. Standing up for the rights of everybody. Right? Not kneeling and genuflecting before anybody, but standing up for everybody. Now, to that end, I want to read you some statistics. Now, today's Friday, and most of the time on Friday, we talk food in the second hour. And so, in order not to disappoint, we're going to do a kind of a man on the street poll. Yeah, except I'm not going to go out on the street. I will introduce you to some family members of mine. I will introduce you to friends of mine, and then some people you hear on the program on a relatively regular basis. And that is Jeff Kenney is going to be on. Will Cosentini is going to be on. Now, both of those guys are Italian, so they know something about food. And what we're going to discuss is fast food. You're going to hear the go-to selections, the top two go-to selections of people in hour number two. Man on the street interview. Yeah. It's moderately entertaining, okay? No, I think you'll enjoy it. So let me go back to leadership. You run Google, you run Facebook, you run Apple, you run Amazon. Okay, part of your responsibility, and everybody has it, right, is affirmative action. Is our hiring practice? Are we demographically reflected in terms of gender and race, you know, with the population that we come from? And know this, that we, as one of those top four companies, we are in a position financially to go get the people we want from the schools that we want to get them from. We have those kind of resources. Yes? Yeah. Hello? We have some money. To the point that we can give millions of dollars, right, to social justice crusaders now. Millions of dollars. And they've been in the news pledging that. Okay? So let me go over some numbers. Now, I would submit to you that if you're the president of a company, and you're hiring, race is an issue. Demographics is an issue. You have the opportunity to be a brick in the wall of Dr. King's dream, okay? And that is the American dream for everybody. Where you're not judged by the color of your skin, by the content of your character. So, now, Facebook been around for a long time. Google been around for a long time. Apple and Amazon, all been around for a long time. They've all had time to figure this shit out, right? Right. So where are they in terms of hiring black Americans with their U.S. workforce? Okay. Black Americans, 13% of the population. So yesterday I just did a little research. Facebook, right, in management positions, 3.8% of their workforce is black from 2019. That's a 2019 number. Facebook. Really? What? Like, are you kidding me? Yeah, you heard that right. Essentially, I'll round it for you. 4% of Facebook's employees are black. For Google, 3.7% of Google's employees are black. So that's 4% as well. Percentage of black people in the population, 13. Not even close, okay? And two of the major social media companies in the United States, not even close, okay? Apple. Apple's numbers are pretty sophisticated. These numbers are from 2018. Okay. At their executive level, Apple has one person that's black out of 123. That figures out to less than 1%. 0.81%, I believe, if you do the math on that. Apple. Right? What a wonderful company, right? Send our labor. I mean, you think Apple's about money? Send our manufacturing to China and their slave labor? It's not a good story. How about in their management level? Apple, 284 black human beings out of 9,878 that are identified as managers. What number is that? 2.87%. 2.87%. And then everybody else categorized as employees, 9%. How about that? It's amazing. And yet these companies stand up on their social media platforms and they blare to the world, right, their commitment to Black Lives Matter and their financial support of community groups around the country, blah, 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 fucking blah. I remember, and I told you about leadership. I mean, where is it? That's the revolution. This thing is going to be past Black Lives Matter with police reform. And again, already, I'm just going to tell you this. If you care to do the research, what you're going to see is the restraint of police departments all over this country. What study after study after study has found is that the likelihood of you being shot, right, relative to race has to do with the number of violent confrontations that you have with the police department. It's a function of that. And when you look at the number of confrontations and then you look at the number of black deaths, that number is lower than white deaths. What does that mean? It means that cops are more reluctant to shoot people if they're black. Now, study after study affirms that. And I'm going to play a little audio for you here and show you how hard this job is. All right? And we'll get to that in a second. Okay. But again, leadership and these people that stand up right in front of everybody who don't practice what they fucking preach. Mark Zuckerberg, man, that guy should be ashamed of himself. Where is somebody calling him out? Well, they don't do that. Right? Where is somebody calling out the Alphabet guy? What is that guy? That guy, he's Indian. He's Indian. He's a minority. Google, nowhere close. Apple, right? Apple's about what? Your wonderful life? Apple's about cash, straight up. 1 in 123 as of 2018. Think of that. It's not like we hadn't gone through this. We'd already been through the Ferguson shit. That happened in 2014. It's not like this wasn't an issue in the United States. Everybody knows that it is. Now, let me take you to Amazon. All right? Amazon, overall, 26% of the workforce is black. How about that? People that are designated as managers, 8.3% are black. How about their vice presidents? Zero. Right? And there's multiple hundred of those. Zero black. How about their executives? 48 executives at Amazon. Zero are black, four are women. The rest, white men. Jeff Bezos. Hello? So when we talk about leadership, and I say, you know, that when you look at, for instance, this issue that we're having relative to DACA, we can't solve that. The nation needs Congress to solve it. And there's not a difficult solution. One is being installed, which is you got to secure the southern border and you got to stop the inflow of illegal people crossing into the country if we're going to deal with this thing. Okay, so you got to stop the influx. All right, now, after you stop the influx, okay, you have a program and you say, okay, you can stay here legally. You can have legal status. You can't vote. You're not a citizen, but you can have legal status in the United States. You got to come down. You got to plead guilty to class A misdemeanor of, you know, breaking and entering into the country. And as long as you keep your nose clean, you can stay in the United States. That's the deal we're going to make with you because we're not going to deport 11 million people. I know there's people having are hyperventilating right now, but take it easy. If you're a dreamer, here's the path to citizenship, okay? You got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. If you do that, you're a citizen. You didn't do anything wrong. Done. Now, is that crazy of a compromise? And the reason that the wall's a significant piece of it, and the wall is a code name for improved security on our southern border, so we don't have to do this again. Okay? So we don't have to do this again. We want legal immigration. But where are the leaders to make that problem go away? I mean, it's you watch it and that's too hard? Evidently. People were ready to put up billions of dollars to fund a wall under Barack Obama. And then all of a sudden, they didn't want to spend any money. And so to me, you know, leadership in Washington, D.C. is dead. Right? The choice between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. Are those two, like, incredible leaders that, you know, people want to sign up? No. They're people that have name identification and can raise money. That's why they're on the ticket. We have a leadership crisis in this country that is insane. And it makes everything more difficult. It makes everything more difficult. The so I just want to share those numbers with you. So when you look at what is the true problem in the United States is there is up to about a quarter of black America that lives in the inner city. Their children go to school that don't teach them to read. And all their test scores lag. So what is that? Where are they going in life? Not very far. Not very far economically anyway. So the nation has not been able to figure that out. But it's completely possible. It's completely possible. So leadership. Leadership in this country is pathetic. And then you see in the private sector, these people would identify with being liberals until we hire. And then they're as bad as anybody. Yeah, Apple, Amazon, Facebook, Google, all supporters of liberal causes, all complete failures when it comes to making real Dr. King's dream and being conscious of that. So I offer that to you on a Friday morning. We'll check the news, and then you're going to hear some. It's actually pretty funny. Jeff Kenny's. You'll hear from Jeff Kenny, his favorite fast food. You'll hear from Will Constantini. You'll hear from my daughters, Catherine and Colleen. You'll hear from a couple of my nephews, Jim and Alex. You'll hear from my roommate in college, Kevin, and a couple of Kevin's kids. Matt's a minor league baseball player, and Tim. Tim has been on the program actually. Tim had a brain tumor, and so you'll hear. And the man on the street question is, or the person on the street question is this: what is your go-to fast food? Right, and with details, right? So if you tell me, In-N-Out, which was a popular reply, I need the specifics of the order. What burger do you get? How do you get the fries? Right, and then what do you wash it down with? Okay, and there's some funny stuff in there. So Friday in the second hour, we try to talk about food. I thought I'd do a little man on the street interviews today. So good morning to you. Whitney Houston sings the national anthem on Friday. Good morning. Sure. And this is dedicated to everybody out there that's in a leadership position. Leading is not easy, especially during difficult times, which this appears to be. And the way you lead is you do the right thing. You do the right thing with good people. Now, if you haven't hired good people, you're fucked. Okay? You're going to pay the price for that. If you're a good leader and you've hired good people, you get them in a room and you chart a course for the future that is fair, that stands up for the right things, and then you live with that. And that's the way leaders do it and have done it historically in our country. So this is dedicated to them, all right? And that proposition, if you're a leader, be a leader. Do the right thing.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
Once you're out of the core, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country, we care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Time for us to check the weather here on a Friday. And then we'll do a little shithole weather. Currently it's partly sunny and 77 in Quantico. It is cloudy and 78 down the coast of Camp Lejeune, where I'm headed on Tuesday. Yeah, fired up. It'll be my first experience flying since the COVID thing happened. So interested to kind of see that. And more than excited to go do post-traumatic winning again. Sunny in 84 out in 29 Palms, so warmed up in the desert a little bit. Clouds in 65 at Camp Pendleton. Sun rising. Cloudy in 72 at Camp Smith in Hawaii. Camp Butler in Okinawa. It is dark cloudy in 83 in South Central Afghanistan. Clear evening in 97 degrees. And in the western part of Iraq, it is sunny in 93, so cooled off dramatically in Iraq, where it's been over 100 the last week. Currently in the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area of Southern California. It is in Orange County, don't you know, south of Los Angeles. It is cloudy and 66, looking for a high of 71 today. 71 tomorrow, 72 on Sunday, 76 on Monday, and 76 on Tuesday when I fly. So that is a look at your weather today. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll check the news. And then we'll do a little man on the street interviews relative to food in hour two. The chef is still on the mend. So, almost forgot. Good morning from Churchbridge, Saskatchewan, Mac. The cool air that arrived yesterday is forecasted to stick around until next Tuesday. A mix of sun and clouds with a west wind at 14 miles an hour today. The current temperature is 45 degrees, looking for an afternoon high of 59. So Bev wasn't kidding when she said cool air. And then there's a picture of a bird. The photographer's name is Peter. Peter reminds me the western meadowlark that was perched on the same corner fence post at about 8 a.m. when I arrived at one of the schools where I taught. I read it. It is the state bird of Montana, Kansas, Nebraska, Oregon, and Wyoming, and North Dakota. How about that? What is this thing called? The western meadowlark. It's a pretty yellow bird. You know, growing up in California, when you go to other parts of the country, you see other kinds of birds, right? And I remember seeing, you know, a cardinal for the first time in my life. I was like, whoa, look at that. Look at that red bird. Look at that red bird. From Vacaville, California. Good morning, Mac. Happy Friday. Today's shithole weather in beautiful Vacaville, California. Currently 72 degrees, winds are 7 to 10 out of the southwest, looking for a high of 95 today in Vacaville. Yeah, Vacaville gets Sacramento weather. Man, it's hot as shit. It is hot as shit there. Okay? It is hot as shit there. All right. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll check some news headlines. More of All Marine Radio on a Friday, and then our people on the street interview. And, you'll enjoy it. And, you know, it's moderately interesting. There's some patterns that develop, right? There's some patterns that develop. So more of All Marine Radio coming up next here on a Friday, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
All right, it is 8:43 here on the west coast of the United States. From Stars and Stripes, Democrats move to block Trump's troop cut plan in Germany. Proposed legislation would deny funding for U.S. force-level reductions in Europe unless the cuts were requested by the host nation. Huh. Well, we know this is just a show, right? Because we know that that's not going to get through. We know that that's not going to get through the Senate. I just don't, you know, I don't see these same people, right? I don't see these same people standing up and demanding that Germany, right, carry their share of the burden. Why are American taxpayers more interested in Germany's freedom and Germany's defense than Germany is? This is just more political nonsense, right? I talked about the leadership thing that we don't do in this country. Yeah. So anyway, that's in the news today. USS Theodore Roosevelt is in the Philippine Sea. They had two aviators in an F-18F model. Were flying during a routine pilot proficiency training when an incident with the aircraft happened. U.S. Naval Institute News reports that the squadron is the Black Knights of Strike Fighter Squadron, which is VFA 154 from Naval Air Station Lemoore, California. Both aviators were picked up by a helicopter assigned to Helicopter C Combat Squadron 8 from the Roosevelt. Navy reported that they were in good condition. The incident is being investigated. So, good news. Bad news that we lost an F-18, but good news that both pilots got out, that they were recovered. That's the way it's supposed to go. And the Roosevelt continues. Yesterday we talked about a Marine who died during the most fundamental airborne training that that we do in the United States military. That happens at Fort Benning. He's remembered by fellow Marines as somebody who had an unconquerable spirit. Sergeant Wolfgang Wolf Winninger, 28, a critical skills operator assigned to the Marine Raider Training Center, was fatally wounded during one of the final jump qualifications. Wounded? How about injured? Jump qualifications of the Army's basic airborne course. Our hearts go out to the family of Sergeant Wolf Winninger, an incredibly smart, dedicated, and dependable Marine, said Colonel Travis Homiak, the Marine Training Center's commanding officer. Although he was just beginning his journey as a Marine Raider, his contributions to our legacy did not go unnoticed. Born and raised in Auburn, Ohio, graduated from Kenston High School, joined the Marine Corps in 2015, graduating from Parris Island, was a armorer. Assigned to CLB-2 at Camp Lejeune and reported to MARSOC in January of this year. So he was on the path to getting all his qualifications to make a contribution in that community. So our thoughts and prayers obviously go out to his family. A story that I've never seen this program, but it's kind of, I've seen it all over the place. It was costing visitors their lives. Army helicopter removes bus made famous by Into the Wild. Anchorage, Alaska, from the Tribune News Service. An infamous abandoned bus near the boundary of Denali National Park and Preserve that has attracted travelers for years, prompting several rescues and deaths, was airlifted Thursday from its location on the west bank of the Teklanika River. The bus had sat in the location about 25 miles west of the park's highway on the Stampede Trail for 60 years. It was a site of the 1992 death of 24-year-old Virginian Christopher McCandless, which was depicted in the 1996 best-selling book Into the Wild and later adapted into a feature film. Since then, the bus has drawn visitors, some of them following McCandless's footsteps, with varying levels of preparedness for enduring wilderness conditions and crossing the swift Teklanika River. Some local authorities have long called for its removal. Quote, it's a little bittersweet, honestly, said Denali Borough Mayor Clay Walker. We know it's the right thing to do for public safety, yet at the same time, I watched it go down the Stampede Road. It does feel like a piece of your history is moving on. So, anyway, I'm not that familiar with the movie and the book, although it does ring a bell. The another story that has been in the news for a while, understaffed, uncoordinated. Inspector General outlines flaws in the visa program for war zone interpreters. Now, just so you know, there's people that become interpreters for the United States military become targets, as do their families, right? They share danger with Americans many times, bringing things to attention that we culturally wouldn't be sensitive to. right, many times, right, saving soldiers and Marines, right, as they, when they're wounded, by either administering first aid, dragging them to safety or whatnot. And so you see this incredible bond develop between Marines, soldiers, and their interpreters. And an incredible frustration when, with all the people that come into this country, people that have risked their lives for the country, we can't get them in. So that's what this is about. A program to provide U.S. visas for interpreters who worked with American forces during the wars in Afghanistan is understaffed, uncoordinated, and reliant on outdated technology, a State Department Inspector General report said. These flaws have led to long delays for applicants to the Special Immigrant Visa Program, meant to allow interpreters under threat to resettle in the United States. The report released yesterday found that the SIV, Special Immigrant Visa, program's understaffing makes it unable to meet a congressionally mandated 9-month response time for 18,000 applicants, some waiting years for a decision in their cases. Staffing levels haven't changed since 2016, despite a 50% increase in the applicants since that time, the report said, adding that at least 50 more staffers are urgently needed. There is only one analyst available to conduct security checks on SIV applicants at the State Department. Wow. 18,000 applicants and one person doing the screening. Amazing. Amazing. Your government, hard at work. Yep. Yep. From Just the News website. Top headline is, meet the man who wants to forcibly retire House Speaker Nancy Pelosi in November. Oh my God. Here's an email. Mac, what do you think of John Bolton's book? You know, I have a problem with the whole kiss and tell thing. You know, John Bolton was so happy when he went to work for the president, right? And I agree on John Bolton on some things. I disagree with him on others. I find it unseemly that you go to work with somebody, and then you're either fired or you resign, and then you published a big tell-all. Yeah. So that's my take on it. Now, you can publish it. Wait till the guy leaves office. Okay. Or if you wanted to comment on issues, then I think that's appropriate. But when you want to do essentially a hit piece for your own wallet, and people could say, oh, John Bolton doesn't need the money. Right. Then what was so urgent? His hate for President Trump. Then why did you go work for him? It's not like Donald Trump. It's not like Donald Trump has like changed since he's got into office. Right? I mean, did I miss something? Yet Bolton couldn't get there fast enough. And then all of a sudden, you know, now it's like the worst thing that's ever happened. Donald Trump unfit for office. Okay. I just find it, and some people have maintained that throughout. I just find people that run there and then run out, I just find it unseemly. And paint that with a bad brush, too. That like, that's like not a good thing. When Max says unseemly, yeah, that's not good. I'm not sure if you all remember the story, but the Navy was having problems in flight And so here's a story. Navy clear on causes of physiological events in pilots. Final recommendations released for physiological event mitigation. So enlighten us. Why? The Navy now understands what has been causing physiological events in aviators, which spiked sharply in 2017. So much so that flight instructors refused to get into their jets to train new student pilots. A recently completed root cause analysis pointing to a complex relationship between aircrew, their flight gear, and their aircraft. What? Rear Admiral Frederick Luchtman, L-U-C-H-T-M-A-N, the commander of Naval Safety Center and lead of the Physiological Episodes Action Team, or PEAT, told reporters today that two root cause corrective action teams, one looking at the T-45 Goshawk trainer jet, and one looking at the F-18 family of fighters, had completed their work in December and briefed naval aviation leaders in February on their findings. So why is this being released in June? Anyway, the team spent 3 years and $50 million on their work, drafting more than 8,000 pages of technical documentation and proposing combined 567 recommendations for how to keep pilots and weapons officers safer in the cockpit in the future. Ultimately, the teams found there was no simple fix. Despite early theories, the physiological episodes weren't caused by contaminated air, a lack of oxygen, or systems not designed well enough to keep humans safe in harsh environments. Quote, the bad news is that there's no single causal factor that leads to physiological events, Luchtman told reporters today, though he noted that a string of pilot programs and early mitigation efforts to tackle contributing factors have already resulted in a 96% decrease in the physiological episode rate in the T-45 fleet and a 74% rate in the physiological episode rate in the F-18 fleet since 2017. So what did they do? They fall into two main categories, those related to oxygen in the air and those related to air pressure. Luchtman said it's not as simple as the systems that control these two factors were not working. Rather, breathing concentrated oxygen in a small cockpit with restricted flight gear is hard on the body, and something as simple as a mask not fitting quite right could lead to physiological symptoms. Wait a minute. You mean? So, I mean, this thing kind of came out of the blue. Though physiological episodes have long existed, Luchtman said, with symptoms ranging from headaches and tingly fingers to dizziness to loss of consciousness, around 2010, the naval aviation community started to see a rise in PEs, that's the abbreviation for physiological episodes, believed to be related to aircraft malfunctions, except they weren't. Anyway, so big story, right? Big story. Didn't know how to fit a mask. Blamed it on the airplane. Yeah. Nice. There's a story. And this is kind of the gossipy rag part of military reporting. Trump troop cut in Germany fits a pattern of hitting allies. Well, wait a minute, right? When your allies don't do the things that they're supposed to do, what do? Get fleeced for decades? So, anyway. I don't have any problem with it. Send them to Poland. It's further east, as Jeff Kenney said yesterday. It's further east, right? Be probably a better place for them. All right, top five stories in Early Bird are as follows. And then you're going to hear my man on the street interviews, which are funny. Some of them are funny. But there's some trends in there, fast food trends. Number one story in the top five, IG investigating Air National Guard's use of recon planes to monitor protests. The Air Force Inspector General is investigating the Air National Guard's use of an RC-26 reconnaissance of multiple planes to monitor recent protests. What the fuck, man? Did people lose their minds? Quote, following discussions with the Secretary of Defense about shared concerns, the Secretary of the Air Force, Barbara Bennett, is conducting an investigation into the use of Air National Guard RC-26 aircraft to support civil authorities during recent protest activities in U.S. cities, Air Force spokeswoman Ann Stefanik said on Thursday, adding that the IG was leading the investigation. So, the Air Force had no further comment on the investigation. Lieutenant General Scott Rice, director of the Air National Guard, said last week at a Mitchell Institute for Aerospace Studies online forum that the Guard had used RC-26s to track civil disturbances at the request of law enforcement. The Air National Guard has 11 RC-26 aircraft and typically use them for drug enforcement and border patrol operation. The Guard receives those planes from the Air Combat Command. Huh. That's interesting, huh? How does that get authorized? And who requests that? Huh. Doesn't that have to be requested by the governor, not law enforcement agencies? We talked about racial justice, and actually part of Lynch Kinney, Cosentini Hour yesterday, our own experiences relative to military justice. But a new Pentagon team is going to take on racial justice in the military. Civilian and uniformed military leadership have 2 weeks to bring Defense Secretary Mark Esper their best ideas for improving diversity and inclusion in the military immediately, he said in a pre-recorded video announcement released yesterday. By the end of June, that we can begin implementation now, such as removing photos from promotion school and command selection board, Esper said. This is something I pushed for as Secretary of the Army as we work to overhaul our personnel system. Esper also announced the formation of the Defense Board on Diversity and Inclusion in the Military, an internal group of uniform and civilian personnel who will have 6 months to make recommendations to Esper on what the Defense Department can do to tackle inequality within its organization. To me, let me tell you, I want to see the data, right? I want to see the data relative to, you know, racial justice in the DOD. Catherine Wilbarger, the Pentagon's top foreign policy official, resigns after she did not get nominated to a post senior to her. Yeah, she took that as an insult and said, I'm out of here. And then in a letter as she went out the door, encouraged her peers to continue to support and defend the Constitution. She becomes the second Pentagon official to resign this week under similar circumstances, with both having had nominations for new jobs reportedly scuttled by White House staffers over loyalty concerns to President Donald Trump. Hours after the initial reports by Reuters, Secretary of Defense Mark Esper released a statement praising Wilbarger for her wealth of experience and utmost professionalism. Her leadership in support of the national defense strategy is evident in the proud accomplishments of her team. She is someone I got to know well over the last 3 years, and with sincere appreciation for her many contributions and years of service, I wish Katie the very best in what I'm sure will be a bright future. Since 2018, she has served as acting Assistant Defense Secretary for International Security Affairs following the departure of Robert Karam from the role, which serves as a regular intermediary with foreign nations. Her nomination was evidently put in jeopardy because of White House concerns that her views aligned less with those of the president and more with two previous bosses, former Secretary of Defense Jim Mattis and the late Senator John McCain, who she worked for at the Senate Armed Service Committee from January of 2015 to January 17. So you see how she got her start. Via Senator McCain. So, yeah, that very much in the news yesterday. Number four, new Iran rocket attacks won't force U.S. hand in the troop drawdown, CENTCOM commander says. And this is General McKenzie, who's a pretty frank guy, right? A recent steady flow of rocket attacks in the past week on facilities housing U.S. troops in Iraq, including camps Taji in Baghdad, maybe attempts of Iranian-backed groups to pressure an American exit, but the region's top military commander sees little effect. Quote, we're not going to quit the region in response to Iranian pressure, said General Kenneth McKenzie during an interview with Washington Post columnist David Ignatius. And, you know, one of the things about General McKenzie is that he's a pretty frank guy, right? Quote, while Iran may own the escalatory ladder, Iran needs to understand that the United States controls the final steps on that escalatory ladder. What? He doesn't mince words. So, anyway, General McKenzie in the news with his normal blunt talk. Story number five in the top five, aviators eject from the Super Hornet near the Philippines. We've already talked about that. Overseas operation headlines. Four rockets hit Baghdad's green zone in a challenge to the new Iraqi prime minister. B-52 bombers trained with Japanese fighters over the Sea of Japan days after deploying from Alaska. So that is a look at your news today. Now, we normally talk food in hour two, and we will. This is a little bit different, though. This is kind of a man on the street, but they're really not. People I know, people who you have heard on the program, or people that are related to me. So I just did kind of an informal survey about fast food. And here's the survey. What's your number one go-to fast food? And then after that, what's number two? If the number one's not available, what's number two? And we get into the particulars. I think you'll find it interesting. So don't touch that dial. And you'll hear from my two daughters are in it, a couple of my nephews, Alex and Jim. You'll hear from my college roommate, Kevin. A couple of his sons, and then Will Cosentini and Jeff Kenny at the end, all talking about fast food. More, so Food Friday, more of this coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.